naive, bourgeois, safe 17-year-old who'd spent some time hanging out with my sister's friends at college, I bought my first Grateful Dead album, 1969's Live Dead. I guess I bought it looking for an identity as much as I was looking for a way of getting out of my lanky, brooding teenage body for a few minutes. The album's opening track features the band's signature psychedelic foray, Dark Star, culled from live performances at the Fillmore. I listened to the track constantly, often sleeping with it on repeat all night. It interested me that the tensions in the music built as an ensemble more than around any one player. Jerry Garcia's leads were often out front in the mix, but he didn't seem to be in charge. The band seemed to be not just improvising around a lead melody, but mutually amazed, feeling for the walls in the dark together, and occasionally finding a way forward. Shall we go? You and I while we can. This is most clear around the 7-minute mark of Dark Star, when, released from the willful, formal burden of having to sing the first verse, the band begins a slow, slightly dissonant climb, with cymbals coming in occasional waves, the rhythm guitar and organ adding a light textural harmony, the bass moving up the scale like a thick aural vine, and Garcia presumably hitting his guitar with his fist to provide a noisy, fed-back chord that culminates in a lead line of sharp, clear notes at its peak. Probably listen to this passage of instrumental music more than any other, but too often some polite force has held me just shy of ecstasy when listening to it. A week or two after high school graduation, I attended my first Dead show. On the cusp of the summer solstice, a 70-degree, clear blue day led into a warm evening. The hippie auspices abounded. Though I was unfamiliar with most of the songs they played that night, inhabiting them came easy. I couldn't describe it until years later, when it became clear that evening that the mutual amazement I'd heard in the ensemble-focused improvisations on the band's live records, what I'll here call co-ecstasy, extended beyond the band members. While the proscenium framed the band on stage, the fourth wall seemed fully permeable. I've chased that aesthetic and its driving philosophy of mutual ecstasis ever since. Grateful Dead, and particularly Garcia's approach to the guitar, implies that if you're not far enough out of yourself, or aren't giving enough of yourself to the world at the moment, you can't begin to approach something that those involved will agree is the truth. Composition as a polite and civil gathering of positions breaks down under these conditions. The incumbent attributes of co-ecstasy, namely mutual bewilderment, astonishment, and amazement, tend to refocus attention on the impolite bonds between the positions of those involved, and those bonds become a gathering force in their own right. Garcia's guitar playing at its best asks, when the composition breaks down and we're left in the breach, where are we? And how long can we stay there before polite society snaps us back into place? It's this co-ecstasy that I primarily want to explore in this discussion.